Good job.
I think the next thing on the agenda is the report from the chairman, and since that's me, and my Braille note has decided not to function, but I think I have, I was going over the notes this morning, so I have a pretty clear idea. First thing I would like to do is to thank Pearl and Kathy and Bob Deaton and Jan Stockerbrand and everybody that we, at Fatosh Floyd, people that we get reports from, and there have been lots of questions from different people on the board, and we get prompt answers from people, and I just want you to know that we really do appreciate those things, and they help clarify things for us a little more, and we really do appreciate that kind of stuff, and sometimes I don't get a thank you sent on every email I get, but we really do appreciate knowing what's going on and those kinds of things. And then I wanted to thank Bob Deaton for sending the Winterfest report and evaluation back from the kids that were there. It sounded like they had a wonderful time and really enthusiastic about it, and I just think that's terrific. I'm so glad that the young people get things to do and developing more confidence and so forth. And then I wanted to publicly thank the Delta Gamma sorority, I think it was, that had the Sunday fundraiser for us, so that they raised money for the wages program. And I think that's wonderful. I hope some of you got to go have some of the ice cream, because I was really wanting to do that too. But, you know, living in Hastings, it was a little more difficult, so I didn't get to. But it just sounded like a terrific thing.
May I comment on that as well?
Sure.
Mrs. Pearl, I just want to say that I spoke with a number of the college students there, the sorority people, and they were just really thrilled to meet a lot of our students and clients and consumers. It opened their eyes quite a bit to what blind people can do.
That's
so I think it helped kind of transform their perspective from just helping the blind to, you know, partnering together, and it's a very worthwhile cause, but in a slightly different perspective.
I think that's exactly right. I think sometimes they, places like that, want to help the blind, thinking they're the most helpless people in the world. And then when they actually see what blind people do, it's an eye-opener, so to speak. I wanted to talk about the networking conference call that we did in April. Daryl was on the conference call too, and so I wanted it. So Daryl, if you have something you want to add, we talked about the purpose of the networking, and I think you know, they were all really good answers, and like sharing information and being a source for somebody that's newly appointed to the commission board, and you know, with this new coalition that is supposedly going to be the spokesman for all rehabilitation centers, all folk rehab places, that we don't want the blind people to get lost in the shuffle, and you know, our networking conference people can be people that will help that not to happen. We did talk about developing the state plan and what other states do, and that was interesting. We talked about the general commissions and councils in general, that how they do things. Like, for example, we meet four times a year. There are some that meet every other month. There are some that, like us, you know, get a wonderful lunch, and others that don't. And some of them that have a staff person that their total job is to, you know, be on call for the board, and whereas we have, you know, great people like Hubert and Kathy and other people that help out and stuff. They have many, many other duties that they do, and they're not their full job is working for the board, and I found that real interesting. We talked about the meeting in Bethesda, Maryland, that it was a consensus. They were going to meet, I think it was Wednesday afternoon, during the committee meeting times, and it was decided that so many people that go to these meetings wanted to go to the committee meeting so that they would meet in the evening as a kind of like a dinner meeting instead, and I'll be anxious to hear what happened when we get to Daryl and Pearl's report on that. Let's see, I'm sure there was more things on there. Oh, I wanted to thank Hubert Paulson for getting the recordings of the meetings up on the website, so it makes it a lot easier for folks to get their hands on that, and they don't have to wait until a later time it's put on a disk and stuff. I know that doesn't take a lot of time, but sometimes you want to do it. You want to do it right now. You don't want to do it in a week or something. You want to hear what the people had to say at the meeting right now. So, thank you, Hubert, for that. I'm going off the top of my head because my Braille note needs to be reset, and I can't get it reset right now. So, I think that's everything I can think of. Daryl, can you think of anything else on the?
No, this was my first one, and I thought it was really interesting. And the biggest thing is understanding all of the different terms. You know, you have NCASB, then you have RSA conference calls, you have the independent living, voc rehab, different, you know, all these different terminologies. And then they were talking about this, what is it, the coalition, and I'm even not quite clear on all of these things. So it's important, I think, that some of us can attend these, you know, take part in these meetings and, you know, learn this as we go. And you know, I'll talk later about
the actual meeting in Bethesda.
But it's just awesome to be able to network with these people and find out things, and it's great. It's been well worth it, and I certainly need to be chastised if I miss these conference calls, because it's good.
I think too, the last one I thought was particularly good.
Yes.
I mean, we really got a lot of things discussed. Sometimes they're not as good as that, but I suppose the same thing could be said for the board meetings too.
And Dr. Van Zandt does a good job of kind of facilitating those, because I don't think the rest of us quite know what we're doing.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And then one of the things I wanted to talk about, I don't think we really talked about the resolution that new coalition has come out with, and there's been so much controversy about. On the conference call, Judy Sanders told us that they had, and I'm not sure I remember who the person was that they invited to one of their board meetings that talked to him about it, and she said yes, that they agreed that, you know, there needed to be changes, and the guy said, oh yeah, they were going to be made, and she said I believe you that you're going to make it, but you know what, you probably won't always be there, and we need it, you know, written down. And so Minnesota did not pass the resolution. They more or less tabled it. And if I remember it correctly, Virginia
did pass it,
and there was something like 21 or 22 boards that did pass it, and that was, I believe, out of 85 that it was possible. So not everybody is, you know, doing anything about it. And I, you know, I think maybe we need to discuss whether we need to do something about it or not, too. Although I really felt like, you know, Minnesota's idea, let's wait and see if they do actually make those changes before we jump in, you know, into a situation that we might not be comfortable with later. So that's my thoughts on that. And I think that's all the comments I have on that I can recall from my chairman's
report.
Just
a quick follow-up to that. I don't think people, maybe the public doesn't quite, you know, realize, but, you know, basically this coalition would, you know, sounds good because we're all working together. However, Nebraska and Iowa and some of the other states, we are really lucky to have our separate Agency for the Blind, we have our commission. Some states, in most states, it's all under one, like the department, it's all under the Department of, you know, Voc Rehab, or, and in some states, you know, Minnesota's been getting some pretty good services and so forth now, but some states, when you're trying to combine everything, you know, and I guess our biggest thing is we don't want to lose our identity, so, you know, we want to make sure that our issues continue to be heard, and so I think tabling this and just seeing what happens for a while is probably the best way to go on that.
Yeah, that's what I was getting out of it too, and I know some of the people, you know, were saying, mm-hmm. well, if we're a part of it, then, you know, we have a voice, but I don't know, it's one of those, got to really think into it, and I think being part of this networking thing, yeah. And getting more information from all different areas, although our amount of people that are calling in has really gotten down to maybe 10 or something like that now, and they're all good people that, you know, have yeah. attended these conference calls, but I'd like to see a little more mm-hmm. people attending if we're going to get anywhere. And I think my time is up, so we are going to go to public comment. Are there questions from the public?
Madam Chairman, this is Hubert. I have a clarification.
Okay.
When I record the meetings, I put them up either on the state hard drive or pass them on. There's another party who actually puts the files on the website. Mr. Jirok, was doing that in the past, and somebody else is doing it now. But
okay.
I'm not involved in that aspect of making them available to the public.
Okay. Well, I wasn't told that you was instrumental in getting them up on the website so people can download them.
This is Pearl. It is Hubert that does the works with the technology to make the recording mm-hmm. in a digital manner so that the people within the state website agency can do that. And so if it weren't for Hubert's work, it wouldn't be up there.
Yeah, the original work has to be done by Hubert, otherwise
right.
everything else is, forget it can't be done.
That's right.
Okay, so we'll thank you for the original work then. I misstated myself. Okay, any other comment from the public? Okay, then we will move on to the report from the executive director.
Thank you very much. I would like to mention first that we have some t-shirts for sale. We've purchased some NCBDI t-shirts. They say independence on the back in Braille. And we actually have them here in some sizes. The Jeffs have organized them at the back table, so they're arranged by size. We have black and red t-shirts, and you may purchase those today if you're interested. We can talk on a break about that. Did want to let you know.
Okay.
Field services during the past quarter, or really since our figures are cumulative from the beginning of the fiscal year, October 1, we have served 487 people in the vocational rehabilitation track. 24 people have achieved their employment outcomes. 24 people have been closed without success. In the independent living area, we've served 499 people. 105 have been successfully closed, and then 17 closed without success. Staffing issues, Cindy Holness and James Juarez are no longer working for the commission. As was stated earlier, Jeff Krutz was hired as the program specialist for technology position in Omaha. Glad to have Jeff with us. Mm-hmm. And the North Platte District Supervisor position was reclassified to be a vocational rehabilitation counselor. Bob Deaton and Carlos Servan are supervising the North Platte District. Center report, 157 full-time clients have completed the center since 1996. 91.5% achieve their employment goals. 21% are still students, and that leaves 6.3% who are not working. And just a little additional information, about one-third of the of the clients found employment within 8 months to 2 years. Another, about 50%, achieved full-time employment within 3 years. And then about 11.5% got jobs from 4 to 5 years after they finished training. So we do track and pay attention over the years. Fatosh talked a fair amount about the activities in the last 3 months. They have been very busy with many different events, and so I think I won't list those because she talked about that a little bit, but they've had a lot of good experiences. I just kind of give you some highlights of otherwise things that are going on. Nebraska Business Enterprises, we now have all the machines in place at the Zerinsky Building in Omaha. The federal agencies are not all moved in yet. And Merlin Volker is manager for the Zerinsky Building when that gets all in place. Hardy Home is one of the vendors. He is now doing the vending, the brailing for the snack machines for the agency. Oh. And I was recently did a road trip west and stopped at a few of the rest areas and was pleased to see that the machines were brailled. We're updating the vending in the rest areas at Ogallala and Sydney because Department of Roads is refurbishing those. We're sprucing up existing machines. We've replaced machines at the Omaha Post Office. And our storage area for equipment has changed. That's related to the whole workspace change in the Lincoln office. And so we're working on that, making sure the equipment is in the right place where it needs to be so it can be repaired or moved out into the vending sites. Independent living, we had the Winterfest, as you mentioned, in March. They had a demonstration of accessible voting machines and a self-defense workshop, so that was a neat experience for those kids. We've finalized orientation guidelines for new drivers and readers. We really want to make sure the expectations of those contract people and of staff who use drivers and readers, that their expectations are clear and professional, and so that's been in the works. Bob attended an annual older blind program managers meeting in Virginia, as well as the spring conference of the National Council of State Agencies for the Blind, and he and Deanna Jesse made a presentation about maximizing resources within states for older blind services. The districts have been very busy. Some of the training opportunities people have had, they've done some online ethics courses, went to an employment symposium, a transition workshop. We're having Social Security training this next week that'll be here in Lincoln to help counselors have a better understanding of the benefits that the clients on Social Security Disability and SSI have so they can help people make really informed decisions about working. And placement is an area all the offices are busy with, and some of the offices are joining chambers of commerce or having the chamber members come and tour the offices and learn about blindness and employment of blind people. We are showing some big company representatives how to use JAWS and screen enhancement to help possibly develop more jobs. The group teaching is happening in the offices with a range of ages. Sometimes younger people participate in those group home teachings in order to prepare for the center, and sometimes they, just need basic training, and so it's kind of a mix of people, but those have been going on. The staff are doing a lot of outreach to low vision, to employers, to schools. There was also a national meeting of called Deaf Nation that was about deaf and hard of hearing individuals, new technology, and a number of staff went to that. And also working more with the Veterans Administration, and that was something we learned about in Bethesda too, that the options of what the veterans will pay for clients that are veterans of the military. Business-wise, we've been working on all the furnishings, ordering new, receiving new kinds of things, surplusing, getting rid of things that are broken but that we've used for decades. We've upgraded the server, or we've been moved to a different server. Our email accounts have been changed. That was not some, both of those changes were not something we decided to do, but we had to do, and so we've worked with the state folks that are the experts on that, and hopefully we'll not have too many problems with those changes. We've been introduced to the new state of Nebraska's new budget system. This year is when the proposal for the next two-year budget is due October 15th. So we're already working with the timeline back from that to get all the pieces together to make sure that we can develop the budget proposal that needs to be done for the next 2 years. Working on eForce, that's the data management system that we were basically given from Iowa and Iowa Department for the Blind, and we're having it sort of reprogrammed in order to work with our system. That is taking much longer than we had hoped, but it is in process, and we are moving two steps forward and one back about every week. It's a process, but it'll be good one day. A couple of our staff have been certified to perform pre-audits, which is kind of an internal business process we have to do. We finalized the apartment lease. That was a little bit in limbo for a little while, but that was finalized, and have put together a contract for the building remodeling, which hopefully most of you will be able to see later. And that's been really exciting, the moving offices around, but also doing some actual remodeling in the center area and in the Lincoln District area where we're building a computer lab. It's really great stuff going on there. Let's see. And then the mentoring project and activity took place in Lincoln in March, and the focus was on getting ready for employment. This is the last year of the mentoring grant, but it's been a tremendous opportunity for the youth who are the mentees, and also I think for the adults who have provided the mentoring, and for our staff. So it's been a good opportunity. Carlos made a presentation also at the NCSAB in Bethesda to the employment committee about the progress that our commission makes in placement efforts. So we were really well represented this time at the Bethesda meeting with both independent living, older blind, and employment presentations from Nebraska. That was great. Let's see, wages is in process. Staff have been interviewed. The temporary staff have been selected, and so that's in the works. And we are in the process of hiring the position for Folk Rehab Counselor in Kearney, which has been vacant for quite a while. In a nutshell, those are the highlights, except for things that are later on the agenda that that I won't talk about here.
Where are we in the process of the, for the Omaha one? Is that, do you do the Kearney one first and then do the Omaha one?
Probably. We have not, I'm sorry.
You don't do that simultaneously, or you open?
It just, there's no, I mean, we could do them simultaneously. It is quite a time-consuming process, and so we haven't opened the Omaha one yet, but.
So the Omaha ones are just covering the other clients and so forth?
Right.
In the meantime? Okay.
Yeah, whenever we have vacancies, the staff of the immediate work group, whether that office, that district, serve, you know, find ways to serve the clients, and if it doesn't work to completely serve from that office or district, then the other offices and districts help out. And
okay.
So supervisors work together to kind of assign the cases and make sure there's coverage.
So it doesn't disrupt too terribly much.
Hopefully not. That's
okay.
Our goal.
That's good.
More questions?
Julie? Yeah, I have a question about the reader driver, whatever, contract or description?
It's a document of expectations and responsibilities.
Okay. I noticed that confidentiality was not addressed in that document.
Oh, it wasn't.
Not
well.
And I think that definitely.
It definitely needs to be. That was an oversight. Thank you.
That's a good catch, because I didn't see that either.
There is no section of confidentiality, but I remember we did mention that business time is confidential, but maybe we need to make it more explicit.
Yeah, yeah. I think, and it may be, if there was a separate document, and I don't know if there was a separate document that they sign or something, but I definitely think that needs to be covered. Very clearly.
Yes,
somewhere.
I appreciate that, because it always has been. You know, that's, if anything, one of the most important things. So I will definitely look at that again, and we'll make sure that that is put in, you know, strongly and as one of the first things. Thank you.
Wes Medeiros.
Okay, Wes.
I was just wondering if there was any public comment you could make on the rationale for the changes in North Platte and whether that might foreshadow any future changes in terms of the reclassification on that.
Sure, hang on. I'm just getting Julie's thing down so I make sure we get that. Okay. Just that it's kind of an ongoing process of determining what our resources are and where the coverage needs to be and, you know, what the caseloads are in the different areas. It's kind of an ongoing process.
Does that help, Wes?
Yeah, that does. So basically it's just looking to become more efficient. Is that the way I'm understanding?
Right.
Okay.
Thanks.
Do the supervisors, like in Omaha, do they have a caseload still?
Yes. In case you couldn't hear the question, the supervisors in Lincoln and Omaha do carry caseloads.
Okay, anything else from the board? Okay, hearing none, we will move on to public comments. Are there any comments from the public?
Madam Chair, Barbara Lowe.
Okay, Barbara.
I was interested too in the reclassification. Just at the staff supervisory level, when there would be, for instance, supervisors meetings, does that mean then that Bob and Carlos are, you know, like half supervisor each for that district? I mean, are the districts still divided the same way? But I'm just trying to figure out the way that works, organization chart wise or whatever, or just answerable wise. So the people in Omaha and Lincoln have another layer that people in North Platte don't? Is that how that works out? Or?
I'd like to let Bob comment on that.
What we have worked out for the time being is that Carlos and I have split our responsibility by area. As it is right now, Carlos supervises counselors and staff in the VR track, as well as administrative support staff in each office. And I am supervising the orientation counselors, people that work in the IL track, and Campy at this point. We have been maintaining weekly contacts with each office to make sure that the lines of communications are open. We've been doing that by conference call, so far once a week. We do have another conference call set up for the week of the 19th. Next week is very difficult with staff training going on and other commitments that Carlos and I have. We're not doing anything next week, but we do have a two-hour. What was the originally scheduled as an office meeting? We're going to use that as a time to discuss issues that were brought up at the last supervisor meeting, which is going to be next Wednesday, and other issues that staff might have. So that's kind of how we're doing it. If people have concerns, they will bring it either to Carlos I in accordance with the line of command that we have established with staff at each office. And so we're taking that approach. Does that help?
Madam Chairman,
I don't know.
Close.
Barbara, are you want to make another comment or?
Well, I'm just not sure I really understand it yet. It doesn't feel more efficient or less confusing to me, but maybe there's just something that I don't understand about it.
As far as the chain of command that the supervisors, so to speak, are in Lincoln when they're
It doesn't seem tighter to me. It seems in a way looser to me or something. I don't quite get it.
I would tend to agree with Barb myself. Jimmy Rock, by the way. I mean, there was a reason for it, obviously, but I agree with Barbara. I think that there's, by reclassifying the north, by that district, to kind of take something away from that office.
I don't know that I think it takes anything away from the office, but I can see with, day-to-day problems or whatever that I know we're all connected by computer and phones and everything else, but I would look at it from the point of view of myself. I tend to be an in-person kind of person. I mean, I want to have that direct comment because I think, maybe not so much over the phone, but over the computer, things can totally be misunderstood.
Oh, you bet.
Very easily. Person will write something as a matter of fact, and the next person will think, well, that person's really upset, very angry or something, and that was not the intent at all. So I don't know, but the thing that I do know is that capable people, I don't know more capable people than Pearl Van Zandt, Carlos Servan, and Bob Deaton, as far as direction and so forth. I have a lot of confidence in them. And I have to trust that they know what they're doing. But I do think, when people have concerns from the board or from the public, that, we needed to talk about those. So.
I preach about having to hurry through this meeting, but now I see some things that we need to discuss here. I don't have any real problem with this, as long as I understand. Is the was the decision made basically on is it a financial aspect that it's just in our best interest to do this financially? You know, with time and travel and different things. You know, because I know Iowa has gone a lot more to a lot of their counselors, you know, working at home and, you know, setting up their appointments from computer and different things, as opposed to having all these offices. I mean, is this part of the rationale that it would help us budgetarily, or was there some problems that you guys felt could be handled better through Carlos and Bob? Or I don't understand exactly the rationale behind this. If I do, maybe I could, you know, I mean, I think we'd like to know exactly.
Well, it was not a budget decision.
Okay.
And it is a kind of a transition reassessing issue.
So this is a permanent situation, or might it revert back to the way it used to be? As far as
we're evaluating whether we need as many supervisors as we have. Even as it was, there were three offices fairly distant from each other: Scottsbluff, North Platte, mm-hmm. and Kearney, supervised by one person in North Platte. So mm-hmm. even at that, they, you know, two-thirds of the district didn't have that mm-hmm. in-person okay. contact.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is true.
Okay, we'll see what happens.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Fatosh?
So, Pearl, because I would like to understand as a staff person, too, since there is a opening in Omaha, are you considering Nancy's position to be changed also?
Do you mean Nancy Fleurl's position
yes.
to be changed? No, not at this time.
Although there is a, you know, a lot of case law difference between Omaha and Kearney, and you're hiring for Kearney and not for Omaha position.
Yeah, it's just in process. There was no decision not to hire in Omaha, but rather it was the Omaha supervisors. She had been in process of hiring for technology, dealing with other personnel issues, and so that one just hasn't been posted yet.
Okay. First things first.
It is all a process.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose we could see how it goes.
Can you guys excuse us? For just a minute, is it okay if Christy takes your order?
Sure.
Sure, that would be great.
Absolutely.
Yeah, steak. No, in November, that's fine.
you know, yeah, I've always felt like that. I know our public comment time is running out now, but I've always felt like, you know, that I think it's terrific that we have people in Scottsbluff and North Platte and Kearney, but it's really the distance between there mm-hmm. and Nebraska is one of those states
yeah.
that
it's spread out.
You know,
it is. Yeah.
I don't know, but I have also been made comment to that there are people that feel like there are too many supervisors. I don't know that I know that to be true, that I think there was too many supervisors, but I have heard that comment for two or three years now. So. And I think the internal workings of the commission sometimes are better known by the people that are working there and there every day rather than the board that gets there, you know, just occasionally and stuff. Sure. But it is important for us to keep in mind when there are questions and so forth. Are there any other questions?
Just a real quick question. So we have a supervisor of the Omaha office, one of the Lincoln office, and then Carlos and Bob are doing North Platte, is that correct? Do we have any other supervisors? Is there one in Scotts Bluff?
No, we have three districts. Omaha district is the Omaha and the Norfolk offices.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Which is the Omaha supervisor.
Right.
Lincoln district is all contained here.
Right.
And then North Platte district is the three offices that I mentioned.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
All right. Anything else? Okay, then we will go on to old business and we're up to budget.
Basically, the budget is on track. Staff and business office are all doing a very good job of managing things. Right now, as I mentioned before, we're preparing for writing the biennium budget proposal. As you know, last year, the consumers, specifically the National Federation of the Blind, worked to educate the legislators about the need for state-funded older blind services, and that part was not funded to the extent that the request was, but the first 2 years is enabling us with Bob and Deanna Jesse's good work to really establish what the need is and how the services that could be provided would really help prevent people from going into nursing homes and save the state money. And so we are intending to include that proposal or that project as a part of our next biennium budget proposal. Otherwise, I don't know that we're looking to request any other major changes. We're really not that far along in the process, but for the most part, I would think we'd keep it pretty much along with what we've been providing as it is and what we've requested of the state. But that's a big process, and it's in the works. But as I said, unless you have specific questions about the budget, I think just the general statement that we're doing pretty well with things. I guess I would also, I mentioned the mentoring grant will end the end of this fiscal year. We've just been able to renew the enrichment grant, which is for Omaha, specifically Omaha, Douglas County area. And that's a small grant, but still it's another project that's in the works. And let's see, any other, Carlos or Bob, is there anything kind of project-wise that I didn't mention that you think?
Just wages goes from June 15th to July 27th or 26th.
Thank you. Any specific questions about the budget?
No, you talked about it was moved to October 15th.
Within the state, there's a process. Agencies are required to submit biennium budget proposals.
Okay.
And there's this very well-defined or restricted process that the agencies have to go through to complete their proposals, and we work with our budget officers, both at the legislature and the governor's office, to make sure they know what we're working on and tie in anything that they would be recommending. Then the proposals all go to the legislature and the governor for their consideration, and of course the Appropriations Committee is a big part of that as well.
So is it like October 15th, is that the date that the Appropriation Committee meets?
No, I'm sorry. October 15th is the date is the deadline for us to submit our biennium proposal.
Okay, and so it's next year.
Right, and the biennium that we're talking about begins July 1st, 2009.
Oh, okay.
So we'll be working on that this summer.
Okay, I'm straight, and I probably should have known that already. Sorry,
it's a little convoluted to describe.
So July 1st, 2009, that's the beginning of the 2010 fiscal year? Do I get that right?
Yes, for the state.
Yeah.
And that's something, with our budget, we always have to both report based on and work within two fiscal years. The state goes July 1 to the end of June. The federal goes October 1 to the end of September.
And that makes it real interesting.
That's going to be my next question.
It keeps us
on
our toes. Yeah.
At least there's consistency.
Is there any more questions from the board? Okay, we will go to a website update. Anything to report there?
Just that I think with the help of quite a few different people, we've come a long way in the content, the variety of media that's there, really good making sure links work, and I think that it's really a website that we can be proud of, but of course we continually want to make sure that it stays that way and improves. So if you ever try to click on a link and it doesn't work, let Kathy know. If there's some area that you think really needs some text that isn't there, or you find something that you think is out of place, we'd love to hear that. I guess I'll ask Kathy if she has anything that she wants to comment on.
Well, we did participate in the partnership event at the Capitol, where we were asked by Nebraska.gov to showcase our website during this event. We were one of 10 state agencies who were asked to showcase our website. Oh. We basically concentrated on how our website was accessible, and we concentrated on what agencies or what people need to be sure to incorporate in their websites to make them accessible. A couple other staff people, Nancy Kaufman and Jan Brandt, our technology staff, and Bill Brown and I, we attended the event at the Capitol. And it was very well attended, especially the morning. And so that was pretty, I thought that was pretty noteworthy that we were asked to do that.
I have a question about that. Do they invited you to do that because the website is, and I know it's really good, and that's not my question, but because they realized it was so good, or was it they just picked 10 at random, or...
I think they picked our, Nebraska.gov does a lot of our web maintenance. Uh-huh. And so they've kind of showcased on, just because it's an accessible website doesn't mean it has to be boring. I mean, it can still have a lot of graphics,
right,
and it still can be very,
yes,
appealing. So I think that they wanted other people to see that, you know, what they can do to make your website accessible and still be very appealing to people to visit.
Right. That's great. I thought that was wonderful that happened. That was a good thing, because it is very accessible. I have occasion to go over there and look up old minutes and so forth, and it's just, you know, very simple. It works, which makes me really happy when I want to do that, because, you know, you want an answer, but you don't want to spend all day looking, and it's really good. Anything else from the board?
When last I looked, and I could be wrong, Julie, was your bio up on the website yet?
No, that's because I haven't written it.
Oh, okay. I want to make sure. Okay. I didn't think I saw it.
Fellow commissioner, you need to get that done.
Yeah, I wrote mine back in December before I even was approved.
Yeah. You know, there are always things that...
It doesn't have to be a long, you know, treatise.
Right. No. If you look at the other ones, they aren't long, and you know, they're just interest things.
I think three paragraphs, three or four.
So. Mm-hmm. But it is important that we get those up there. Anything else? Okay, I guess we will go to friends of the commission update.
I think the only update that I would give is that the friends would really like to have some new members. They have not been terribly active. They did do the logo contest, which was a good thing, but really there hasn't been much activity, and it is a good thing. So if folks, you know, would consider being interested in Friends, I would certainly encourage you to contact us or contact the website. Friends doesn't have an active website, so,
I didn't think so.
But you could certainly come through the commission, through me, or through Kathy, or whomever. So,
how often do they meet, do you know?
There's no regular meeting.
Just when they have the need to do so. And the other question is there any stipulations, like, for example, if a board member wanted to be part of the Friends, is that a no-no, or a staff person, is that a no-no, or is that acceptable?
It is acceptable.
Okay, so.
I think there'd be a conflict.
Everybody is welcome.
Yes.
Okay, any questions from the board? We're just moving along real quick.
Madam Chairman,
yes.
The folks are entering with sandwiches for people. Should we just take a second from the meeting? And
yeah, why don't we take, if we want to continue on, let's at least take 10 minutes
to find the food.
To get our food in, and then we'll move on, okay?
Fantastic.
Okay, so we are going to